teachers as our speaker, Cyrus Smith, up in Lake County today, I think.
Yeah.
Cyrus, a longtime practitioner, started meditating when she was a teenager, and is a graduate of the Community Dharma Leaders Program at Spirit Rock and the Commit to Dharma Program at the East Bay Meditation Center that was taught by Larry Yang, who was one of the founders of this group. And she teaches at East Bay Meditation Center and with teens and in the prison system. And we're glad to have her as our core teacher. So welcome.
Thank you, Carl. I see one of my blinds is blinding me. But thank you for that wonderful introduction. And it's so great for me every month to come and be a part of this group. And I love it that I get to see each of your faces here. So where are we? I don't know. I've been feeling, it feels like we're kind of, it's some type of a crescendo here in the States, at least, and is in front of us. And so we shall see how that plays out. I've also been noticing, a lot of folks are adjusting. You know, we've made some necessary adjustments in our lives, and we're sort of just tuning, to the circumstances and adapting, which I think is all we can do, and which is beautiful. You know, that's something that's beautiful about us, our ability to adapt. There's a lot of different ways that we are relating. My partner and I, we have friends who are expecting a baby. And so they had a baby shower and they had it outdoors in a park, and they, you know, with social distancing and whatnot. But what they did, which I thought was interesting, is they had small groups at different time slots. So 4 or 5 people, 3 or 4 people, and everybody gets, you know, like an hour. And they did maybe three or four. But I thought that was very creative. And so, you know, we're adapting. Things are different. And I think that many of us, most of us, have figured out what level of risk that we are comfortable with in our lives in terms of, you know, many of the things that are happening in our society, including the COVID. So me personally, as I mentioned, I think in several of my talks over this past 7-8 months, life is different for me. I would be at this moment planning to go to New Zealand. And that's, you know, we're not allowed to go anywhere. I looked at it, just for kicks the other night, I opened one of my travel apps, and it, you know, there are no flights for us outside the country. My partner and I are having our 25 year anniversary next year. So we were planning a celebration for us. And so that, you know, we're going to postpone it. So things are different, and yet we're adapting. And what I thought about was that we have, whether we're, however it is that we're adjusting, there is more time. You know, there is more time for practice, for self-reflection, for self-development. I've been engaging in all of these different types of things that I probably wouldn't normally. And so I thought I would just offer, some of the things, or the one or two that might be beneficial, you know, to focus on during this time. I'm so sorry for the glare. My camera's adjusting, so I feel like it. So I apologize. Like the sun is moving, so maybe it'll move. So there's a teaching. There's a teaching in our Accord discourse in our tradition, and it's called dependent origination, or dependent arising, or interdependent co-arising, or conditioned arising, etc. And in Pali, it's called paticca samuppada. And so it's the basic principle that all phenomena arise dependent upon other phenomena. So a network of causality, causes and conditions, things as they have come to be, karma, conditions unfolding, all of the things that have happened before this moment have set up the conditions for this moment, and this, the next, and so on. And so it's related to the endless cycle of samsara, or cycle of death and rebirth. And I know that when we think about karma, we often think of something like what goes around comes around, right? Or some abstract idea of cause and effect. But imagine for a moment that instead of karma being this kind of abstract thing that determines whether we'll win the lottery or what we might be reborn as. What if for a moment we imagine that we're just dropped right into the middle of karma, this very moment. So we're just right this moment sitting in the midst of karma unfolding. And what we do, how we relate, impacts those around us and the conditions around us. And so we are living, breathing, walking, acting, sitting karma every second of every day. And so what occupies our heart mind, the habits of the mind, how we tend to the mind and our thoughts, how we relate, the conditions, what we say, what we do becomes who we are. And so it's very much related to how we are creating ourselves, our lives, and the world around us. And so there are 12 links in this teaching of dependent origination, or paticca samuppada. And it's a pretty deep breakdown of cause and effect. So it's basically just breaking down how that works in our everyday lives, our actions. So we can apply these 12 links in a macro sense. We can kind of zoom out and we can look at the cycles of death and rebirth and samsara if we look at the big picture, or we can zoom in and we can look at our moment-to-moment experience and apply it there as well. A new birth, a new self each moment that passes. And so there are 12 links as is laid out in this discourse. And I'm just going to focus on the middle five for us. I think they're most applicable if we want to, go have a deeper reflection in our moment to moment, our daily lives. I think these are very useful. I'll just name the others so that you can hear them, but if they don't make sense or it's not clear what they are, it's okay. So the first five are ignorance, formation, consciousness, name and form, which is one, and then our sense spheres. So those are the first five links in this process of cause and effect. And then there are the middle five, and I'll name them. And they are contact, feeling tone, craving, clinging, and becoming. And then the last two are birth and rebirth, and then aging and dying. And so there's the first five, the middle five, and the last two. So there's 12 total. And I'm just going to expand a bit on the middle five just briefly. So the first of the middle five is contact. What does that mean? So when we have any experience that arises for us in this life, whatever it is, whether it's a sound, whether it's an intense feeling, whether it's sensation on the skin, all of our senses are the only way that we receive experience. So contact is contact with one of those places. Contact is hearing sound. Contact is feeling something. Contact is seeing a sight, seeing colors. Contact, when something arrives in your sense spheres. That's it, contact. What happens after contact? And this is so great because it's so detailed that the Buddha has laid out for us. After we have contact, we immediately have the next link, which is feeling tone. Feeling tone or Vedana. And so Vedana, pleasant, unpleasant, and neutral. We immediately have, whether it's a conscious thing or not, we are having that relationship with whatever experience we're having contact with. So feeling tone, we immediately either like it or don't like it, right? It's either pleasant or it's not pleasant. Whether it's, someone's email at work, or it's a hunger pain. I probably want it to go away and get something to eat. Or, it's something I've tasted that I like and I immediately want more of it before I've finished what I already have, right? So feeling tone. And what comes after feeling tone is the next link in this process of our unfolding is craving. So craving or tanha in Pali, it literally means to thirst or to desire. And so craving is two sides of the coin. You know, we can both crave to have, and we can crave to have things go away. You know, aversion. Same, same. Both desire. So depending on the feeling tone, we will either want more of it, want it to go away, or it's just neutral. You know, we don't have a strong sense or feeling toward it. And so that's the third, step that I'm in this chain after contact. And after craving, we have clinging or upadana. Upadana, the literal translation is fuel, which I think is so interesting. But it's when we take hold. So it's kind of that decision, you know, sometimes in the middle of work or responding to emails, I just decide I'm going to put things down and go and open my refrigerator here at home. It's like that. Or I'm going to take a break and, you know, turn on the television and, you know, watch PBS or whatever it is, or, you know, I just make a decision. And so I, clinging, you know, we cling to, or we may become occupied by, you know, something that has arisen. And so we have, in essence, sort of made a commitment to how we feel. And so there's this clinging that happens. It fuels our next action, which is the last in these five links is becoming. We call it becoming or bhava. Bhava is karmic force. It's similar to volition. And it's behavior that is serving our craving. So once we cling, we tend to begin to act. We begin to move toward that, whatever it is. You know, sending a rash email, or as I said, getting up and moving toward the fridge. And it's becoming, and and just in that, it happens very instantaneously, all of that contact, feeling tone, craving, clinging, becoming. And we do it thousands of times every day, all day. And this is how karma unfolds. We are karmic beings in this moment. The whole of the Buddha's teachings, the whole of the Buddha's path is resting in the space between feeling and craving. Right? So contact, feeling tone could be pleasant, could be unpleasant, could be neutral. And so in between that space, there's craving. So what is that between what we feel and what we crave? Can we just be with? Do we have to begin a movement toward? Where is freedom in that equation? So the decisions we make from moment to moment are based on who we've become, dependent on the conditions that have led us here, all of them, from birth until now. And some even say that our decisions are conditioned. So this is where anatta, or the quality of no self, or not self, or no separate self, no permanent self, really shows up and can really take the personal out of it, right? We are karma unfolding. What will arise will arise. What will unfold So get interested in the habits of mind in this present day world order. We are conditioned to respond as if the only escape from unpleasant is to look for something pleasant, to connect with what's going on inside in the heart mind. There are more moments of inner well-being than we probably realize. Always available to us. There are many neutral, not extreme moments that I have just been relishing in lately that arise constantly. There's freedom in the this now experience. So trust in what's here, and you can always trust in your own nature. Trust your nature, and try your best not to get swept away by these external circumstances. Seeing clearly the pitfalls in our minds and attitudes helps us to see and work with the pitfalls of the world. And seeing clearly is one of the first steps toward freedom. So we are living, breathing, walking, acting, seeding karma every second of every day. Each moment conditions the next. And in the present, and only the present, we have choice. So how are you responding in this moment? So I feel like those steps, depending on origination, you can look it up. It's really good for moment-to-moment practice, day-to-day. And the hindrances are also another good set of things that we can just sort of look at and really gain a lot of insight into our own patterns and how we might impact our unfolding. So I will leave it there, Carl. I think that I would like to also just quickly, I want to encourage people, I don't have time to do it, but you can do a quick meditation, you know, on your own, and you can just spend, you know, just 5 minutes, whatever it is. It could be two, it could be three. But just a meditation where you commit to yourself that you're not going to move. You're not going to move. And so make this a meditation where certainly you're comfortable enough, but where you are engaging a posture and committing to a posture and commit not to move. And see what arises in terms of Vedana. You can really just watch it. And craving. And clinging to the craving, because we may want, for whatever reasons, we do this constantly as we sit. So that's an exercise I might encourage folks to try and see what insights might come up for you. So thank you so much.
Syra, thank you for that. That was a very deep teaching of the Buddha, a fundamental teaching. And it was great to be able to hear that again. We have a few minutes for discussion. It's 6:23, so we have maybe about five minutes. If anybody has any questions or any comments, let's just open the floor. Loki.
How does, craving then leading to clinging, could you just say a little more about how clinging forms an identity? Maybe I ditched out at that moment, but it's seeing that link. This was a very good, very applicable to right now in this time, but how an identity comes out of the clinging to the craving, the aversion or the desire.
Mm-hmm. I was just thinking about this. Because I wanted to be able to speak more deeply. And mind you, we could do, a virtual day long on each of these links. And so I feel like, and this is for you to look at, this is for you to discover. I feel like Tanha, which is the thirst for, the craving for. So we can either, want more of it. We have a desire for something, or we have a desire for something to go away. And that craving, we're all familiar with craving. We're very familiar with it. And the next clinging, upadana, it's defined as taking hold of grasping. And I think of, or clinging, attachment. And so I think about, I just lost my train of thought, but the cessation of clinging, of grasping, leads to nirvana. And I think that we can have craving. I think craving arises, and we can have craving without having, without clinging, without grasping. And I'm trying to think of an example. Of attachment. You'll have to forgive me. So I think that, I don't know if you've been to a residential retreat, perhaps in your time. And so sometimes I know for myself, I'll be having walking meditation. And suddenly, whatever it is, and we have this all day, whether we're conscious of it or not, we will have, instances arise. It's just contact. It's an external contact that influences us in some way. And so I might be struck with the desire suddenly during walking meditation to go to the dining hall and have some tea. And so the craving, it's an aversion. Right, it's aversion. It's not. It could be for the tea, could be related to some form of impatience or some form of anxiety or some form of whatever it is that is triggered. And so, with that trigger, I'll cling to this idea of the tea. So I don't know if that makes sense. I'll cling to this idea of the tea, and then I'll just give up walking meditation and walk to the dining hall. But that craving is separate from the clinging, if that makes any sense. Another example might be definitely during sitting posture, our meditation, our sitting posture is a really good way to sort of suss out what it feels like and that difference between attaching to and just having that sense of desire, itching, you can move through an itch. So that's a good place as well. Or if anyone else, maybe, I don't know, Stephen or Carl, or if you'd like to talk more, we only have a couple minutes, one or two, about the difference between craving and clinging. I almost sat for a few minutes just to try to get that because I knew someone was going to ask me, but I ran out of time. So I don't know, Stephen, if that's something that you have right on the top of your head. No worries if you don't.
Yeah, I think you did a really excellent job, by the way, just now of taking care of that for us. But I think craving for me can be sort of out there, like it's something I'd like to have, or I have a story about what I'd like to have, or so forth. And clinging is once I think I've already got it. So not hugely different, as you said. It's still a story, a thinking that I have this relationship or this friendship or this job. It's still thinking that I have it. But that's the sort of difference for me is the craving piece is, wouldn't it be nice to have that? And the clinging piece is, wouldn't it be nice if or I really do have it. And so it's two sides of the same practice to just know that, everything is a mental formation and we can get hooked on the mental formation or we can live, as you said, peacefully and things just as they are.
Exactly that. Yeah. Thank you. And yes, and you just reminded me. Yes. So clinging, we sometimes have a fear of losing things, right? And that's different than craving. That's definitely clinging. So maybe going there just to kind of inquire.
Yeah, and when we recognize it, that's our chance to break the chain.
Mm-hmm.
I see the craving, and I don't have to go to the clinging if we can catch it. I mean, it happens, like you say, thousands of times a day. Yeah. Well, thank you again, Syra, for this this wonderful talk. Let's sit for a minute together and we'll close, okay?